turn to Matthew 28, and I'm just going to read a section of scripture here, pretty well known. This is what's called the Great Commission. If you ever wondered, maybe you're a newer believer, you've heard that term but didn't know exactly what that was. This is what's referred to as the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always till the end of the age.'" So this is a commission, basically something that Jesus tells us to do as his followers. He's giving it to his disciples here in Matthew 28. But basically, anyone that's a follower of Jesus, this is something that he's stated that we're to do. And it consists of making disciples, somebody that follows Jesus. And he talks about baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. From other parts of Scripture, we know that baptism is something that comes after somebody has believed in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They've acknowledged that they're sinners and they need his work on the cross for forgiveness of their sins. So they believe, they place their faith in him to save them from their sins. And then baptism is an outward expression of that. We're actually going to be doing baptisms coming up for our resurrection celebration on Easter Sunday. If you are somebody that have placed your faith in Jesus and you have not been baptized yet, you should get baptized, because this is one of the many places where Jesus tells us we should get baptized. It's not something that your faith is conditional on. It's something that because you placed your faith in Jesus, you do to let the whole world know that you're one of his disciples. And so we encourage you, if you want to do that, you can come talk to me later. But what he basically says here is you're going to go to the whole entire world, which is going to start basically right where God divinely places you first, but then to all the nations, and you're going to make disciples. You're going to baptize people or basically share the good news of God's word so that they can believe in Jesus and get saved and be baptized. And then you're going to teach these new disciples to obey the commands that I've given you. Basically, you're going to decide, part of discipling is to teach people God's word so that they can grow in their understanding of God. They can grow in their understanding of who he is. And I love the reason we can do this with all confidence is because, A, Jesus is in charge of everything. All authority has been given to him by God, the creator of all things in heaven and on earth. And he says he's always with us. It's Jesus that's with us. Or he's given us his Holy Spirit to enable us to do this very thing, to be his witnesses to the whole entire world. And so this is, you know, of all the things God tells us to do in his word, this right here is the commission. This is, they're all kind of wrapped up in this mission. And if you're wondering why you're still here on this earth, this is one of the reasons why. Because there are people that do not know Jesus still. And we're here to help them have come to a saving faith of him and have the same great hope we've been given to, so they can be saved like we are. And as such, missions outreach is a part of the ministry that we're all to be involved with and is something that we focus on as a church here. The goal being to fulfill this great commission by bringing the gospel to places where people otherwise would have little or no chance of hearing the truth of Jesus Christ through the teaching of his word. And what I would encourage you guys to understand is that doesn't mean just taking the gospel to remote jungles where there's tribes that don't speak English, all right? Obviously, there is missions that is intended to go take the good news of God's word to places where it has not actually gone yet. But I would say we're strongly mistaken if we think that even all of the people in Clatsop County have heard the true good news of Jesus Christ. And all you really have to do is talk to somebody you know that isn't a Christian to understand this, because they might have some jaded view of who Jesus is. It's been influenced by the world. Maybe it's been influenced by bad religious experiences or whatnot. But if they truly knew who Jesus was and how much God loved them, I guarantee that they would receive him as their Lord and Savior, just like us. And so we're here to help them understand, not just by our words, but by our actions, by literally being Jesus in their lives. And so, you know, the heart of missions is to be able to share Jesus with everyone that the Lord gives us opportunity to in this world so they can know truly who he is. And there's four goals that we basically have as a church that we see in the Bible when it comes to what we want to accomplish with missions. The first one is we want to send in support. So we see the church all throughout the book of Acts be those that are sending people out to preach the good news and supporting them financially. So missionaries and our ministry organizations that are doing those things as God leads us to, we want to be sending and supporting. And if you ever wonder who the missionaries are that as a church we, you know, financially support, which basically is done through your guys' faithful tithes and offerings. So you have a big part, as we talked about last week, in the work that's going on all throughout the world. But if you're ever wondering who those missionaries are, just go to our webpage under ministries. There's a tab called missions. You go there and it's got all the different missionaries we support. It's got information on them and it's got links if you want to know more, if you want to reach out to them. So that's the first goal, to send in support. The second one is to facilitate trips. We want to provide opportunities to go on short-term trips to not only support our missionaries, but also to engage our church family basically in what God is doing beyond just Clatsop County, but in the rest of the world. And we see examples of that in Scripture. One of the ones that I always think of is in the book of Philippians. In Philippians 2, the church of Philippi actually sent a short-term missionary. His name's Epaphroditus. And they send him to encourage Paul and tend to his needs. Basically, there were some sort of needs that couldn't be tended to from far away. So they send him to do that. And it really blesses Paul. Like Epaphroditus ends up getting sick and he sends him home. But he tells the church, really thank you guys and thank him for being here because he was such a blessing to me. And sometimes I've heard this said before. Actually, I was just talking to another pastor recently and he brought up this question, like, you know, I kind of struggle with if it's worth it to send people to go serve places or rather just to send the money. And I can tell you from firsthand of experience of all the mission trips I've been on and all the missionaries I've ever talked to, if I ask them, would you rather us send a team to come and visit you and serve with you, or would you rather us just send money instead, 100 out of 100 would say send the team. Because there is an encouragement that they get from other brothers and sisters from where they're from, that they have ties with, the coming to serve alongside them, something the Holy Spirit does that gives them an encouragement they couldn't get any other way to keep going. And so so that's something else we do. We try to facilitate trips. The third goal is to serve and educate. So we want to serve in the context of like going out into the world and serving. And actually, Jesus tells his disciples that the way that they would serve the world in sending the gospel out in Acts 1:8, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the context of that was he's telling the disciples how the gospel was going to spread throughout the world, how they were going to serve the rest of the world as the gospel went out. But in the context of our church, we believe God first has called us to serve Clatsop County. That's our Jerusalem. And then Oregon, or the greater Oregon area, which is our Judea. Then the United States, which is our Samaria. And then internationally, which is to the ends of the earth. Basically, as God opens up doors, we want to be serving not just here, but everywhere as he allows us to. And in addition to that calling, it's very important for us to educate our church body on the different opportunities there's out there for missions and missionaries and mission, like whether it's to serve alongside them, whether it's to go on short-term trips, whether it's to support them prayerfully, financially, or just even know about these other missionaries and these ministries that are out there. So that's why if you've been going here for any amount of time, you know that we often invite or allow missionaries and ministries to share at the church, not just ones we support to come back and give a report, but also anyone that somehow the Lord divinely gets us in contact with that we feel is a Jesus-focused ministry that's worthy to pray or support potentially, we'll have them come and share with the church body so you guys can hear about it. And then last but not least, the fourth goal is to pray. We believe prayer is the key to winning and ultimately supporting our missionaries wherever they're at. And, you know, because they're basically serving on the front lines in what Paul calls a very real spiritual war, like a spiritual battle. And so we want to be encouraging you guys the best we can and giving you the ability to know what's going on in these missionaries' lives so you can pray for them. Paul actually tells the church of Ephesus when he's talking about the spiritual battle that we're in Ephesians 6, 18 through 20, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere, not just us here, but everywhere. And pray for me too. Like, I love this. Like, Paul's out in the mission field and he's preaching the gospel and he's like, don't forget to pray for me. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. And in fact, this week, if you guys are plugged into one of our home churches, which we encourage you guys to do that, the focus is going to be on giving an update on the different missionaries we support. We've assigned each one of those missionaries to one of our home churches. So you'll be talking about them and your leaders will be giving you an update. And then you'll be encouraged to reach out to them by email and ask them how you can be praying for them. I'll tell you, one of the churches that's supporting us in our call to London, we got flooded with emails in March because they must have done some announcement or something, but it was just all these people basically reaching out saying, hey, we're praying for you guys. How can we pray specifically for you? And it was so encouraging to know that people were standing with us in this call that God has on our life. And so we're encouraging people to do that same thing with the different missionaries that we support. Now, prior to COVID, anyone that was here before then, you would know that we used to send people out on short-term trips a lot. We used to have a lot of opportunities, sometimes multiple times a year. And since then, for a variety of reasons, it just seemed really difficult and challenging to try to organize trips. We've certainly tried. We've had interest meetings, and there wasn't a lot of interest, or you know, there was a lot of difficulty or expense in getting places, whatever the reasons. But it would seem over this last year that we've actually seen more opportunities God's been opening up. If you guys remember, Pastor Stephen and Will, our elder and young adult leader, they were invited to go on a trip to India with an organization, a ministry we support, Send Hope Now. And they got to go over and give a report of what the Lord did on that trip. And then most recently, we were invited to send a crew of men down a couple weeks ago to tag along with Riverview Christian Fellowship down in Coos Bay, Oregon, and South Beach Church down in Newport, Oregon, to Casa Hogar Mission, which is located just south of Ensenada, Mexico. And if you guys remember, Pastor Luis Lopez and his wife Nubia and their daughters, they were here in October with Pastor Daniel Fox from Riverview Christian Fellowship to share about that ministry with us. It's a ministry that's run by the Lopez family, and it started with planting a church, which that's the most important thing, a church that's thriving and growing, and it's going to become also an orphanage. They're going to be building an orphanage there and providing a home for kids to teach them about Jesus. Actually, we have these cards for them out on our missions table out there if you guys want to grab one, but just to read what this ministry is. It says, Casa Hogar Ninos para Cristo, which Kids for Christ, is an orphanage under construction near Ensenada, Mexico. It was founded through the vision of Luis and Nubia Lopez, supported by Riverview Christian Fellowship and other partner churches rooted in Christian values and committed to nurturing each child's spiritual, emotional, and physical well-being. Casa Hogar's mission is to transform lives and build a brighter future for the children of Mexico and beyond, with the support of churches and individuals united by our faith and love for Jesus. So when we got invited to go down there, I was excited about the opportunity, excited about just a potential open door. Pastor Daniel's vision at Riverview is that a bunch of the sister Calvary Chapel churches on the Oregon coast could partner together in continuing to be a part of that ministry and support it. And I actually had an opening in my schedule for when he was taking that trip, and the elders and us prayed about it, and we had no checks. And typically when we do a mission trip, what we do is we have an interest meeting and kind of let the Lord form a team of anyone that wants to go. But this specific trip, it was limited in how many could go. It was a short time frame to put it together. It was limited to men, and it was focused on construction. So instead, I just prayed and kind of asked some guys to consider going, and the Lord formed a team, and we went. And just as we see Paul and Barnabas share about their mission trip with their home church that sent them in Antioch upon returning in Acts 14, we're going to have the team that went to Mexico share with you guys about all the Lord did on that trip as well, basically with their church family that sent them. But the first thing we're going to do is we are going to watch a slideshow of the trip so you guys can get an idea of the different things that we did while we were down there. So that's going to be up. Come on up here. So go ahead, guys. So as I was saying, this trip was heavily construction. They've taken several trips down there over the last couple of years, and it's amazing what you can accomplish without permits needed. They built Pastor Luis and his family a house, which they were able to do in 4 one-week trips, like start to finish, build a whole house. And then I'm not sure in exactly how many trips, but they've also built a bunkhouse, which consists of a woman's and a men's side, separate sides with bunk beds and a bathroom with like 3 showers and 3 stalls. And then on the top of that is the church building. And so that stuff they were all able to build without permits. And basically what we were doing on this trip was finishing all the work so that all that stuff was completed. And then in the future, the next project is mainly going to be to build the orphanage, which that's going to be have to be kind of associated with the government, because they're the ones that manage like the kids and stuff. So they have to get an engineered design and get everything approved before we can start working that. But that'll be happening in the future. But I wanted to bring these guys up here just to kind of give you guys an idea and give these guys an opportunity to share on different things the Lord did on that trip. As you can see on those pictures, it's not just serving. I mean, that's a big part of what we do, but we also go down there to be with Jesus. And so there was a heavily emphasis. Our normal day would consist of getting up and having a devotional time at 7, where basically any of the guys that felt led could share something. We'd worship the Lord. And then we'd get about with working for the day. And at the end of the day, we'd end every day with Jesus as well. We'd have a teaching. Daniel Fox, pastor of Riverview, Eric Curtis, and myself would split those evening opportunities and teach and worship together. And so there was a whole lot of ministry going on. So the first question I'm going to ask here is, the way we're going to do this is, you guys don't each have to answer, but if you feel led in any way, like something that the Lord gives you to share with everyone, you can go ahead and raise your hand and I'll hand you the mic. But how many of you guys, was it your first time out of the country? And what did you think of experiencing Mexico? I'll just give this to Eric because it was meant towards him anyways.
Yeah, it was my first time. I'd been to Canada one other time technically, but I don't know if that really counts. But yeah, it was my first time to Mexico doing anything, and really just pretty eye-opening. You know, I've always heard about when you go to a different country than the United States, how much different it is, but that's how it was, just so much different. But the scarcity in which the majority of the people live down there was really eye-opening to me, and how spoiled we really are in the United States, and just how big of a difference there was between, you know, just right when you cross the border. I was driving when we went south of the border, when we went through Tijuana, I guess it was, And it was like, okay, we're in San Diego, we're going, yeah, yeah, no big deal, we're going to cross the border. And then right when we crossed the border, I was just like, whoa, this is different. Like, this is weird. This just is just so much different. And just, you know, trash everywhere, and blue tarps blowing in the wind everywhere, and fire. You just like, just, it was just so weird. But also with that, when we got to the, you know, down to Louise's church and their, you know, missionary, the orphanage and stuff, just how joyful they all were and how happy they were just to be alive and to have what they did have and to worship God and have Jesus, and just how they were just full of joy. And you could see the true peace and happiness they had even in just that scarcity. So it was definitely eye-opening for me, and real, I guess, really just a check to be like, man, I don't even need, you know, 10% of the stuff that I have in this life to be happy, or any of it really, but Jesus. And because it's, you just see it when you go down where we were at. So
yeah. Anyone else have anything to add to that? I honestly am a big proponent on mission trips for the very reasons he's saying, because I think that if all we ever see is America, we miss out on understanding that there's a huge chunk of the rest of the world that is nothing like America. And like there, the poverty that you see there is even way better. Like our poor people aren't even nearly as bad off as them. Like they have more than what poverty would be in quite a bit of other nations. And it really does make you thankful for what we have as a country and stuff, and gives me a lot less reason to complain. Like when I think I'm going without, it's nothing compared to a lot of other people. And as he said, when you see believers that have next to nothing in a way that you don't understand, but yet they have the joy of the Lord and they're just thankful for everything God's done for them, it is convicting, you know, that, wow, I should be that same way. I have no reason to gripe or be upset and not be thankful. So it's a great part of experiencing that. Maybe something that not everyone foresees in going on a mission trip, but especially when you go into countries that are different than ours and a lot less, they have a lot less. Another question I had was, it does involve some sacrifice to go on a trip like this. How many of you guys, was this your first mission trip? So there's a cost associated with these trips usually. There's time off from work, time away from family, you know, get behind. But I would say the benefits outweigh the cost. The Lord always has a way of showing that. So did any of you guys experience that? Would you guys agree in any way, and maybe something specific?
Yeah, so heading down there, we get 40 hours of leave a year, and it builds slowly. It's only a couple hours a month, so going down there, we knew we were going to forego a paycheck. And when I got back, I called in to work just to let them know I didn't have any hours for that week, and if there was any time built for this year, just add it on there so I'd have a couple hours. And it was all good. They said okay, and I went on my day. And they actually called later that day and said that they did some digging, and all the way back in 2023, I didn't use any hours, so they added 40 hours to my paycheck for the week. So it's just like, yeah. It was, yeah, pretty cool to see God work and in that way.
So I think for me, yeah, I mean, it's a sacrifice to go away from your family for a week and your kids, your wife. But I think for me, I was really encouraged because the Lord knew beforehand that he was going to give me the opportunity to go and serve him. And I know that's a hard time for my wife at home with the two girls and taking care of them without me there. But the Lord really met her and gave her such a heart to support me and encourage me, and it really emboldened me and encouraged my faith to just see the Lord working in her heart. So just that opportunity that God used through sacrifice and just saying yes to him, that he can just use that just to faith, strengthen our faith and just see his work move
in the opportunities. So I was just really thankful for that.
Amen. I feel like the sacrifice that I made wasn't anything compared to what my wife had to make. Three kids at home, business to manage, everything. So I feel like it was kind of a retreat for me. I don't have to manage people. I can just do work, which is really where the Lord has blessed me with. So the sacrifices that I had to make were null and void compared to what she had to do. And I feel like the Lord met her and made it easier for her to manage those things. So thank the Lord for that.
Where's I see Romana over there. Is Julia here? Okay. So would you say it was worth your husband's going away for a week in the way they came back? Like, yeah. Did you see like just an encouragement, like what the Lord did that you're like, well, that was really worth it, you know? Amen. I know that for me, like just it's, the one thing that I enjoy more than like seeing the Lord work in my life is seeing the Lord work in my family's life. Like, and so like, if I see my spouse like get met by Jesus, you know, I'm just like, oh, that's like, whatever that takes is worth it, you know? So, amen. It is kind of like a retreat. go ahead. Yeah.
So there's a story in 1 Samuel chapter 30 about when David and 600 men, they go out to fight the Amalekites that had come and stolen their stuff and kidnapped all their families. And they come to this spot called the Brook Besor, and 400 went on, but 200 of the men stayed behind because they were too exhausted to go on with the 400 and pursue after. And then, so the 400 went and they captured all the rest of their stuff. And you guys can, it's 1 Samuel chapter 30, go back and read it. But the 400 men go with David, they capture all the stuff and they come back with the spoil to the 200 men who were waiting at the Brook Besor. And it says there were some worthless guys in there that said, because they didn't go with us, they don't get to have any of the stuff. Let them take their wives and children and get out of here. Let them depart. We don't want them around anymore. And David said, you shall not do so, my brothers, with what the Lord has given us. He has preserved us and given into our hand the band that came against us. Who would listen to you in this matter? And then it says, for as his share is who goes down into the battle, so shall his share be who stands by the baggage. They shall share alike. And so, especially our wives and our families who stay behind with the baggage, so to speak, they shall all share alike in the spoils, amen, in the, you know, the treasure in heaven. And also, this just applies to like what Chris has already talked about in just like giving as we support others to go. Sometimes it might feel like, oh, well, we didn't go. We didn't go into the battle. We didn't go on the trip. We didn't do anything. But we all share alike in the spoil, amen. We all share alike in the work that the Lord is doing. Some of us went to the battle. Some of us didn't. It's all for the Lord's glory. And we're all going to share in that. And the other thing I wanted to say really quick is, on this trip especially, you know, it cost us a little money, not much to go, but we had to pay to go. And then also, you know, like Rex was saying, we have to like, you got to get stuff set up back home before you can leave for, you know, 8 or 9 days. And so, but like for me, it gave purpose. It gave a different type of purpose to the work I was doing in those days. And so because, of course, everything we do has purpose, right? But when I know I got to get this stuff done and I got to earn this money in order to go serve the Lord and bless something that the Lord is doing somewhere else, it just gave me such a greater sense of purpose, like a reason why I'm here. and I felt that in the past, even when I was back with the baggage, which has been me every other time. I've never gone on a missions trip. I'm always like, I got to stay in work. I got this to do. I got that to do. You know, I can give financially in prayer and stay with the baggage. But even that gives, when I'm at work, it gives me this sense of purpose of like, I'm not just working just to earn money for myself and pay my bills, which is needed. But I'm also working in order to make the Lord's work happen. And so
there's just a great sense of purpose in whether you stay or go, but being a part of it, that's just a testimony from me that the Lord's given me a sense of purpose in that way.
Amen.
It definitely wasn't a sacrifice for me. Yeah, I did miss like 2 basketball games, but it's whatever. I feel like it was more of a blessing for me to like just be like refilled with the Holy Spirit there, and yeah, it's definitely a blessing.
When you go on a mission trip, I've found that there's this special bond of unity that forms with those that you go and serve with. So I just wanted to hear you guys kind of talk about that, especially with the fact that we were serving with a lot of guys that we met for the first time from other churches. And I think it's interesting because that reference I gave from Philippians 2, where the Church of Philippi sends this guy named Epaphroditus to serve with Paul, or to serve his needs, like when he sends him home, he refers to him in a certain way that would indicate that he had a special bond with this guy that apparently, I mean, I don't know if he knew him before, but, you know, he just came to serve him. And it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, this is when he's sending him back, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister of my need. But there was a special, like, if you're referring to somebody as like a brother, or, you know, this is a fellow worker, somebody that served with me, this fellow soldier in the battle that I'm in, like, there was a special bond that was formed from their time together. And so I've seen that happen on mission trips, every mission trip I've ever gone. I mean, you just grow with those people that you're with for that whole time, serving the Lord with and talking about life with and stuff. So did you guys experience that at all? Anything you'd like to share? Here you go, Chris.
First say, Chris is no longer what I go by. Mm-hmm. I go by O-Rock.
O-Rock.
That way, there's no confusion, because every time everybody says Pastor, well, Chris, it's not me. So call me O-Rock. You can call me that from now on. It's a nickname I've had for a while, but these guys liked it a lot. Everybody there really enjoyed calling me that. I'm not entirely sure why, but apparently it's fitting. So what I want to say, though, is this wasn't my first mission trip. It was everything I expected, though. And I guess outside of the mission piece of it, what I didn't expect was what to gain. I've gone on missions as a younger person many times to Mexico, but I would say this is the first time I've done it as a man, as an adult. And I didn't know what to expect, just because in the working world, men, especially in the construction industry, can be a little interesting. But I would have to say that now, each one of these guys, I trust them with anything. I would talk to them about anything going on in my life. I would talk to them about, at the men's retreat, or I should say the men's conference we just went to, we talked about confessing. And I would confess to these men anything. They shared their hearts with me while we were there. And likewise, I shared my heart with them. And there's no place closer than serving the Lord together. And, you know, a lot of the men there, too, were leaders of businesses, construction. And I also didn't know what to expect. And everybody blew my mind with how much they love the Lord. And all they wanted to do was bless one another and then bless Luis and his family. So I would definitely encourage you, anytime you have an opportunity to break away, go to that mountaintop with your friends or your brothers. You will be blessed. It will change your relationship. You know, I'm not a person that's generally very, I don't have a lot of friends, okay? Let's just put it that way. It's, for whatever reasons, that's just the way it is, but I would consider all these guys friends now. And like I said, I would share anything with them. And it was, anybody else?
There's a couple different things that come to mind for me. First off, all the guys that we met out there were just absolutely incredible. And in my line of work, everybody's pretty rough, say. Uh-huh. And it was nice to see construction workers who put the Lord first and lived that way and knew how to joke around without being inappropriate. That was a big thing for me, is immersed in my line of work. Happens all the time, so it's nice to see a different side of that coin. But the unity experience between these six guys, has been something that I didn't think was possible. I don't think it would be without the Lord. Like O'Rock said, I would trust him with anything, anytime. So, and then the games that I learned from Solomon was absolutely incredible. I didn't know that was a game. And I think he should lay it down. It's probably nothing new to everybody in here, but to me, it was something new. So,
okay, so I'm explaining the game, right?
You can explain the game.
Okay, so the game is like.
Well, no, maybe you should let me do it, and then you'll.
Oh, no, I think you should go the other way. I think you should do it. No, we'll start with this.
Let him do it. There you go.
Okay, Solomon. Give us an example from the Bible, or preach the gospel with this bottle of water that's half full.
Just like this bottle of water that's half full, if we let the Holy Spirit come in us and we read the Bible and just pray, he will overfill our bottle or cup with the holy water. Jesus Christ.
Good job.
So that became a game, like where, and actually it turned into like a pretty edifying exercise because, I mean, when you could see like Eric pull out a Bible example from his arm hair, it was pretty impressive, and it just like made you think, like, yeah, I got to know my scripture. So it was really good. So we might start doing that in church too, where I go like, make a Bible example, Ben, preach. So anyways, but that was really cool. Moving on. Or one thing I would just say too, it is pretty amazing when you get, so like any of you guys, how many of you guys work in construction here? Okay. I worked in construction for 15 years. And from my experience, there are different ways to do certain tasks, but everyone thinks their way is the right way. And you didn't see any of that. Despite having all these different guys that some of these guys, they run general, they're general contractors for a living or whatever. It's like everyone was submitted to one another, which is how the Bible says we are to be. And everyone just got along and stuff got done. And it was just really refreshing to be a part of that. Yeah. Go ahead.
Where there was a man for every task. He knew for whatever we had to do, somebody knew how to do it. It was it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I agree with that. Next question. Sometimes our focus on a mission trip can be about what we will be doing for the Lord, but I always seem to come away in awe of what the Lord did in me. Can anybody relate to that feeling? Like, what are some of the things that he taught you on the trip that you were able to take back home from it? I heard it said by multiple people, this felt like a week-long men's retreat, like just got so poured into. So what are some things the Lord did in you?
I guess one real just simple thing for me that was, I guess the Lord just showed me is that, like, you know, a lot of times I think, or perhaps we think that, oh man, we just need a vacation. Like life is just stressful or whatever. And oh, I just got to get away. I need a retreat. I need a break. I need a, you know, fill in the blank, whatever it is that you think is going to bring life and refreshing and make you feel better or whatever. And, you know, there is a time and a place for those things, but I can't tell you how refreshing it was to go and serve someone else and help someone else. And, you know, I like to go on vacation just as much as the next person, but to go for something other than my own interests was way more refreshing than any vacation I've ever been on or retreat I've ever been to or conference or whatever. And it was just, you know, I mean, I'm not necessarily against all those things, but it was so edifying. And I think everybody would agree with that. But for me, that was really just solidifying in my heart.
Say the same. Man, my cup was overflowing. It was awesome. We, you know, one of the things that you gain when you go to another culture is that you see how different they are. And not in a way that's, it's just, you can see that a whole group of people have a different way of doing stuff. And we, the worship time, I know that every one of us was just energized beyond energized, because they, the Mexican people have an incredible way of bringing fiesta into their music. And even when they're praising the Lord, they're dancing, they're singing at the top of their lungs, and all they got is just an acoustic guitar, and that whole place was shaken. It really was, just like Eric said, you know, vacation's cool, but there's nothing better than coming back full with the Holy Spirit. It really makes what you think is going to make you feel better and happy pale in comparison to what it's like when you go and serve somebody else, or really just be around. It was a retreat, really. There was nothing but Jesus all the time. And you'd go find somebody, they'd be scooping gravel, and they'd be praising the Lord. They'd be digging a hole, praising the Lord. Moving concrete in buckets and getting covered in concrete. And just, you know, one day we cleaned out the water heater, and Rex and I were just covered head to toe in black soot. But praise the Lord. It was really just wonderful spending time together. It really was. It was remarkable. But the Mexican people, my wife's Mexican. I speak Spanish. My in-laws live with us. I get to see it all the time. But even still, it was just, I want to worship like that. I want to worship where what I have means nothing. We're all going to leave here, people. We're all going to die. And while we're here, we have the opportunity to impact lives and lives for Jesus. And I was encouraged even in my own, the Spirit moves in each of us differently. And I think that that's what really makes the body of Christ interesting. I look at each one of you, and you're the face of eternity right now. God picked you to be my brothers and sisters for eternity. And you're an interesting set of folks. And I just want you to know I love you all. And it's amazing to see people move in the Holy Spirit and how it moves them. And never be ashamed of that. Don't be afraid to move how the Spirit moves you. When you go to another culture, you see that the Spirit moves in them, sometimes in the same way, a big group of them, and sometimes not so much. But each one of them is empowered by the Holy Spirit, and each of us needs to do the same. When we move in those things, there's nothing more satisfying. So I would encourage you guys in that.
I guess I would just agree with that. During this missions trip, there wasn't a whole lot of outreach and stuff. Like, it was kind of just, like they said, construction-based, coming to serve Louise and Nubia for their vision and the orphanage and everything. So we were just able to come and work with them and say yes to the Lord to serve them. But I think the brotherhood that was there is just so encouraging. And like Chris said, like, you guys are all my brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's really been on my heart, to just know my brothers and sisters in Christ and get to know you guys, because the Lord used these guys and the other men that were at this mission trip to just embolden me. And just, I was talking to Chris at home group and how we were going to come up here, and I am not a public speaker. I am shivering in my boots. Just the Lord uses these guys to just encourage me that I can come sit up here with them. And it's not about me, but it's about what the Lord's doing. And where was I going with this? So one thing that Lord was really speaking to me is, in the mornings we'd have our devotions and our services at night. But, we're there with all these men working, but there's nothing special about us. Like, they were there, and you hear testimonies of the guys, and we're all just people that were at one point hurting, and we've been redeemed, and we said yes to the Lord, and the God of the universe was just using that, and we were there to just serve him. And I mean, this orphanage that's going to be built is going to be an amazing place for these kids, that they're going to grow up and know that they're not orphans, that they have a father in heaven. And just to go to work with these guys there that week was just a really encouraging thing to my heart. And like Chris said, I'd go to war with all these, my brothers and sisters. I want to know all my brothers and sisters in here more, because there's encouragement and edification in your church family. So just don't be alone. Even if it's one person that you can just trust in your church family and just go to them and be encouraged, just do it. And there's so much power in that. God will use it. So don't be alone. So
I'll add too real quick. Sorry. Also, don't be afraid because you're a new Christian. God will use you anyways.
Yes.
The day you say yes is the day the Holy Spirit takes over. And I heard a lot of people say that they didn't think that their input was valuable because they're, oh, I'm just a new believer or whatever. And it's just not true. All right. That was one of the things that spoke loudly, I think, to a lot of people that were there was, don't be afraid. There were so many things that I learned from people who had just been walking that maybe I even forgot, but the Lord reminded me through them as they're discovering these things anew or for the first time, that's for me too.
I'll add to it too. It's like Eric said, it was a huge blessing to go serve others, but God also worked on me while I was there too. And when we first got there, Chris had mentioned to us all that they need some men to do some morning devotionals. And, you know, I just instantly just wrote that off. Nope, not that guy. I'm not going to be in front of anybody, especially guys I just met. But that night, I mean, it took me like 3 or 4 days wrestling with the Lord. He just kept putting it on my heart. And finally, I just gave in and I did a devotional one morning, and man, it was amazing. So yeah. I just encourage you to obey the Lord, trust him, and what he's telling you to do, just do it. It's for his glory.
Amen. No, you guys answered that perfect, because I think one of the things that we find is, like, whatever the Lord teaches us there at the mission trip, it's meant to be brought back home and applied in our everyday lives. And I always say, I don't know why. I think it's just because when we get away from all the stuff that can so often distract us from Jesus back home, not that it should, we have to learn how to keep our focus on him here, but we're just going away for a week. We've got Jesus as our undivided attention. It just feels like he teaches you so much, like what would normally take you so long to get back home, like in that week or in that time. And you just hear from him clearly and you bring it back and you know exactly, like, man, this area of my life has to change. You know, the way that like you guys were talking about, just like this fellowship I'm having with these guys, I need to have this with my church family back home and stuff. And so it proves to be so valuable for you, even like along what Eric said, like more valuable than any other vacation, any time away. Those things have their place, but like it's like the eternal value you sense right away, and you bring that home with you, and you realize, like, man, this is so great. So all that to say is, we're running out of time, but we're probably going to take more trips down there. I mean, definitely going to take more trips to other places to visit missionaries, but like this might be a long opportunity of like trip after trip because of the work that we know is going to be happening in the future. So we just really encourage you guys, like, even now, be praying about these future trips and how the Lord might want you to go on one of these trips and serve. And there'll be all the excuses not to go, like there normally are. There are excuses for these guys too, but if you hear the Lord say, man, I want you to do this, you should absolutely do it. Amen? Amen. So what I'm going to do is really quick, before we move on to the next thing, just to have somebody pray for the Lopez family down there and for the ministry down there. Anyone want to volunteer for that? Okay, Eric, go ahead.
Lord, we do thank you for... Lord, we thank you for how good you are and that you know all things, you see all things. And Lord, we thank you so much that you have a good plan and that you have planned everything out down there at that orphanage for that orphanage. And it's not just the orphanage, Lord, that you have in mind, but most importantly, the orphans. Lord, those children who need a place to stay, who need to learn about and know the love of Christ. And Lord, we thank you for raising up Luis and Nubia and his brothers and the rest of his family to just to serve you down there and to do your will and to step out in faith. And Lord, we just pray as they're in the, you know, for Riverview and you know, the other churches involved and all the support involved and all the agencies involved and things that you would make the engineering, permitting, and building of that facility down there go through in record time. And that you would be, Lord, I just believe right now that you are putting on people's hearts perhaps to give financially, perhaps to go on the next trip, just to serve you and to be a part of that down there. And so, Lord, I pray you would raise people up in our midst to be a part of that work and to make that happen. And, Lord, we're just looking forward to seeing. Lord, we're thankful and we're super stoked to have seen what you already have done. But with that, Lord, we're looking forward to seeing the work that you're doing now and also in the future. And so we pray a blessing on them. We pray protection over them. And we pray that your perfect will would be done down there in their lives and also here in our hearts and lives. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, everyone else can be dismissed except Eric. And just want to move on to the next part of what we wanted to share with you guys. So if you're newer to the church, this might be brand news. Good, or maybe if you're older, church is good news to you. But this is something that's been in the works for a while in that we are in the midst of a transition here. It started long before this, but like I first became aware 2 years or 2 years ago in March. My wife and I were just talking about this where we were visiting over in the UK, visiting some family and checking out potential Bible colleges for my college. And I, looking at now, divinely ran into a pastor over there at a Calvary Chapel, and that turned into him asking me to pray about moving over there to take over that church. He had been praying for a lead pastor since 2018. And the Lord, after praying about it for a year, really made it clear that it was a unique open door that he had made for us to go over there and do that. And so it was a year ago this month that I've heard from the Lord to start moving forward in this call. And then as soon as we started doing that, just I use the terminology of like we're in Joshua, like when they stepped into the river stopped. Like it was like as soon as we started stepping out, the door started opening. And there has been some mountains that the Lord's moved along the way. It's not an easy thing to immigrate to another country, but the Lord has continued to move those mountains. And the latest one that he moved over the last couple weeks was he raised the $30,000 that we needed to pay for our visas. That's just what it costs to pay for, yeah, praise the Lord. Like, the Lord did it, like, in relatively a short amount of time. And, you know, I made this announcement in July when I felt confident, like, that this is what the Lord was doing. And since that time, he's given us $30,000 so we can pay for those visa costs and start that process. And we have been praying, you know, this whole time and feel confident that we're supposed to keep moving forward. We definitely, there's still some things that the Lord has to clarify, like our monthly living expense, like what we're getting so far is short of what we anticipate our budget to be, but a lot of that's dependent on housing. And so the Lord can, we're just confident the Lord's going to clarify that. Either he's going to give us more monthly expenses or living money, or he's basically going to give us a deal. And actually just a week ago, I say this just to say it's something like we saw as like the Lord just encouraging us in what he can do. A couple weeks ago in our Wednesday morning prayer meeting,
one of the ladies that attends that had a pretty bold prayer. She just was praying that, you know, that there's a lot of people that have a lot of money in London. It's an expensive city, and giving their houses, their possessions are nothing. They could just give them away. And they're like, I just pray that somebody would give the suits somewhere to live. Like, just they'd give them somewhere to live, like, for free. And so earlier this week, I was having a prayer meeting online with Pastor Rob from the church I'm taking over. And he was saying that the board had recently had a board meeting for the church. And currently the church pays, they can't afford to pay him a salary, but what they do pay is a parsonage. They pay for his rent, like in the place that he rents, the home that he rents, they cover it. And so they had brought up, you know, is it possible that the suits could just move into that house and you guys could like move out and then the church would just keep paying, you know, the rent. And this is all dependent on his landlord, like, which he hasn't even talked to him about it yet. But he was like, yeah, that's a great idea. We think we have somewhere that we could temporarily live so that if we knew when they're coming over, we could be out and they could just move in there. And in essence, that would give us a free place to live in the sense that we wouldn't have to spend any of our living expense budget on that place, which would be, it cut our living expenses like almost in half. So we'd basically be a lot closer to where we need to be. And so that hasn't happened yet, but I'm telling you this so you guys can pray. Like, only if the Lord has something better, maybe, you know, we're fine with that. But for me, it was just the Lord showing, you know, I can do this like that. Like just giving us that encouragement to like, yep, just keep moving forward. The visa process is a process over months. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. But keep moving forward, and I'll clarify these things along the way. So with that, keep praying with us. We appreciate those prayers so much because the Lord, this whole thing has been the Lord just answering your guys' prayers and our prayers. And so confident he'll keep doing that. But with that, also seeing that this could happen here in the next, you know, 3 or 4 months where we're ready to move over there, we definitely didn't want it to be a shock for Eric and his family just to kind of have to come in. So the elders prayed, we've been praying about it, and we prayed about it, and so we're going to be bringing on Eric part-time starting next month as a pastor so that he can start getting his feet wet. He's going to be the pastor of criticisms from now on, so if you guys have any critical comments, you go to him. The good stuff comes. No. No, not at all. Do not bog him down with that stuff when he's getting his feet wet. No, but we're just bringing him on so that, like, basically he can start shadowing me and we can start gradually, you know, like bringing him up to speed on what, you know, his responsibilities are going to be and stuff. And it seemed like a good time for him to start taking that next step about pulling away from his business that he's been running as a mechanic and stuff and start stepping away from that. So basically that's where we're at right now. We still don't have an exact move date or like a, you know, like, all right, there's the official handover to Eric date, but we wanted to keep you guys in the loop because you've been with us through this whole process, and we want you guys to keep praying, and want you guys to be there as an encouragement for him, and let you know he's going to be there as a pastoral role starting next month. And so I'm going to have the elders come up here, and we're just going to pray for him because he's stepping into this new role starting next month, and we're going to have you guys join us in praying in the worship team. We're just going to actually pray tonight. We're not going to do worship after because we're really running late. But let's go ahead and have the elders come up here. And then we'll pray for Eric. And then we'll dismiss you guys. And if you have any questions, feel free to come talk to any of us after as well. Yeah, I just say, as you guys feel led, we'll go ahead and pray for him. It's kind of a big deal, stepping into a pastor role. Here, I'll have the mic for one of you guys. I'll just close. You guys go ahead and start.
Lord, we're so thankful for Eric and his family, God. We're thankful for, we are thankful that you've raised up another faithful man to lead the church, God, under your authority, Lord, to bring the word faithfully and counsel and all the things that you're calling him to do, Lord. We thank you for the unique giftings you've given him. And Lord, we look forward to seeing what you're going to do through Eric. Even as we pray for Chris, who's been such a blessing to us, Lord, we just pray that you would go ahead of him and be with him. And Lord, you'd meet all of his needs abundantly according to your holy name, your power. And God, just glorify yourself through these two men. In Jesus' name.
Lord, we just want to thank you for Eric and how you've raised him up. And Lord, it's so clear that you've put this calling on his life. But we also recognize that just like Chris, Eric is just a man. And he's just a willing vessel that you choose to use. This is your church, not Chris's church, not Eric's church, not even Jason's church. Lord, this is your church, and we see in Eric a man submitted to you. And Lord, we just pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on him.
Yes.
Day after day, month after month, and just fill him afresh, Lord. And give him vision for this body. And Lord, that you would work things into him and out of him as you see fit. And Lord, he would just faithfully teach your word.
Yeah, God, we thank you for giving us somebody to fill the gap, Lord. You said that your eyes are searching to and fro for somebody that's just willing to stand in the gap, Lord. And God, I thank you for giving us that, Lord. It's been such a pleasure and a privilege walking with my brother here at this church for so many years, coming deacons together, and just seeing the wisdom that you've instilled in him and the hunger and desire to know your word and to teach it to others and his son, and just washing his wife with the water of the word. Such a blessing and a privilege to just witness that. And this is just all unfolding and everything, just the countless confirmations that you have brought forth through just random people. One would be my daughter, just knowing that even before there was any transition going on, that confessing with her mouth that Eric was going to be the next one to lead the church. It's just amazing to see you work and you move and you make this happen, Lord. And so we know that, as it was said, he's nothing special, Lord. You have made him for this position and for this ministry. And we just thank you for him, Lord, and ask that you would fill him afresh with your spirit, that he would walk faithfully, trusting only in you, Lord, not of his own ability, but that you are going to do the work through him. We thank you for our pastor also, that's just so faithful and so sensitive to you and just wanting to do this in a way that edifies you and glorifies you and edifies the body, Lord. So just thank you.
Ephesians 4 says that when Christ ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. And these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers. And their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And this will continue until we all come to unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son. So, Lord, we thank you, as these guys say, for the gift of Eric. Like Greg said, not because any of us are putting pressure on him or looking to him. You are the head of the church, and we always want that to be so. And that's Eric's heart. But the Bible says that he is a gift to us for you to use to build us up in unity in you. And so we ask for that grace for him. It would be my prayer for myself, and I'm sure my brother's here, and for my family, that we would be a blessing to him and to his family as well. This would be a team sport. We do ask for special grace and protection for this man, and we thank you for him. We recognize him as a gift from you. So thank you, Jesus, for your kindness to this church, your church.
Yeah, Lord, as we've had the privilege to watch this man grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, we've all been blessed. And we see that you see in him that heart of David, that shepherd of the sheep, that would be faithful with what you had given him, Lord, when no one was looking, and that you would make him, as you did David, a man, or he already was. You already made him into this, and you saw him just grow in this, and you grew him as a man after your own heart. In the apple of your eye. And we thank you for the blessing that he is. And it's, as it's been said, as a gift to us, to your church. And we do pray, God, that you would bless our brother and that you would protect him from the lies of the enemy, protect him from the power of and the sway of the world, Lord, the things that bring great men down. And we know that comes through the lies of the enemy and through the way of the world, and that you would make him firm. And just like you told him when he sought your face, Lord, why me? And on that mountaintop, you said to him, because I choose, and I choose you. And Lord, we agree with you. We go with what you say, Lord. So thank you for giving us men of God that seek your face to say, Lord, who is it supposed to be? And you choose, God. And I do agree. And thank you for our pastor. Thank you for the way that you've touched him to do this whole thing this way, and for getting us all to be about your business, to see you accomplish your will in and through our pastor on his way out and our new pastor on his way in. And thank you for the privilege we've all had, Lord, to go through this process together.
Yeah, Father God, I just agree with all these prayers. Lord, thank you for the men that you've given us, Lord, to this church. Thank you for choosing these men, for faithfully serving for many years, and just brothers of mine. And Lord, that I ask you to protect them, protect, Lord, his marriage, his family, and Lord, all the things that he's giving to you. And I pray that you would just comfort him, knowing that, yes, you chose him. He's the man for the job. And that, Lord, as a body, as a church body, that we would pray for them as we think of them. Just thank you for Chris, and thank you for Eric, Lord.
Lord, we know that anything you call us to is first and foremost so that we grow in our relationship with you. We create a greater intimacy with you, Jesus, by putting us in places where we just need to rely on you, and we can learn things from you that we never could otherwise. So I pray it would be every bit of that for Eric, that he would see that from the very beginning, that he would see you there helping him and guiding him and empowering him, doing things that he would never be able to do himself, and learning just greater depths of your love for him, and the things that you desire him to learn through this, Lord. And Father, continue to help all of us through this transition, Lord. We just want to be in line with your good, pleasing, and perfect will as you continue to establish him as the next lead shepherd, and continue to remove me and move me on to the next thing you have, Lord. May we just be in step with you all along the way. So we commit it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen.